Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki Nitai Gur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Indian readings from Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 20, Text 16. Marga Habruvuhu Santigdhas Trenaish Chana Hi Asamskrita Nabhyayamanaha Shrutayo Dvijay Kalena Chahata. Marga Babru Sandigdhas तस्मिनाइश्च नाह्य संस्कृता नभ्यस्यामन्नाश्रुतयो द्विजैकालेन चाहता मार्गभावुः संदिग्धः त्रिनैश्च नाह्य संस्कृता नभ्यस्यामन्नाश्रुतयो द्विजैकालेन चाहता मार्गभावुःसन्दिग्धाः त्रिनैश्च नाह्य संस्कृता नभ्यस्यामनश्रुतायो द्विजैकालेन चाहता मार्गमावसन्दिग्या Marga, the roads, Babhuvuhu, became Sandigdha, obscured, Trinai, by grass, Chena, covered over, he, indeed, Asamskrita, not clean, not cleansed. Na abhyasyatmana, not being studied. Shritaya, scriptures. Dvijai, the brahmanas. Kalena, by the effects of time. Cha, and ahata, corrupted. Translation. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. During the rainy season, the roads, not being cleansed, became covered with grass and debris, and were thus difficult to make out. These roads were like religious scriptures that Brahmins no longer study, and that thus become corrupted and covered over with the passage of time. There's no purport. So I do the next text also. Text 17. Loka bandhu shu megashu vidyutash chalaso hrida staryam na chakrukaminya purusheshu gunishviva. Though the clouds are the well-wishing friends of all living beings, the lightning, fickle in its affinities, moved from one group of clouds to another, like lusty women, unfaithful, even to virtuous men. Report, Srila Prabhupada comments, during the rainy season, lightning appears in one group of clouds, and then immediately in another group of clouds. This phenomenon is compared to a lusty woman who does not fix her mind on one man. A cloud is compared to a qualified person because it pours rain and gives sustenance to many people. A man who is qualified similarly gives sustenance to many living creatures, such as family members or many workers in business. Unfortunately, his whole life can be disturbed by a wife who divorces him. When the husband is disturbed, the whole family is ruined. The children are dispersed or the business is closed and everything is affected. It is therefore recommended that a woman desiring to advance in Krishna consciousness peacefully live with the husband and that the couple should not separate under any condition. The husband and wife should control sex indulgence and concentrate their minds on Krishna consciousness so their life may be successful. After all, in the material world, a man requires a woman and a woman requires a man. When they are combined, they should live peacefully in Krishna consciousness and should not be restless like the lightning flashing from one group of clouds to another. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapit Tamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Swapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Stra Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rari Vrindavanishri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Shindubhya Eva Cha Patitanan Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone, devotees, good morning. Thank you for joining us. We do ask your deep blessings and prayers that we can share something this morning. If the devotees are compassionate, then anything's possible. So we very much appreciate all of your association. By your well wishes, we can try to extract something here. So we have this first text, 16, which is describing the roads when they don't become cleansed. They become covered with grass and debris, and thus become difficult to make out. So we'll talk a little bit about that aspect. And then we have the next text, which also has a little bit of a longer purport. Okay. Yeah, so we have one, two, a few points I wanted to try to bring up. The roads were like religious scriptures that Brahmins no longer study and that thus become corrupted and covered over with the passage of time. Not abhyasyamana, not being studied, shrutaya, the scriptures. So there's a beautiful verse that comes later on that the Brahmins also, if they don't study the scriptures, then they also become, I forget the analogy that's given, something like a dried up cracked pot or something. That if the Brahman, so the Brahman, so this is a Brahminical culture. Krishna consciousness is a philosophy, but it's also a culture. Prabhupada wanted a cultural revolution. And what is the culture? It's Brahminical culture. The culture is guided by the Brahmins, so the Brahmins have to know this Shrutaya Shastra. That is guiding us. The tendency in material life is we don't need scripture, we don't need guidance. It's a little outdated. I mean, what, this book is 5,000 years old. You're studying a book that's 5,000, come on. You guys are stuck in the past. It's 2019. And according to the Western calendar, times have changed. All these things about men and women is totally archaic. It's sexist. We have to come up to the times. That's the modern mentality. That's the mentality of Kali. Kali says, don't follow that stuff. Unless you have a more practical new way of doing things, you're not going to make it. So deep down, there's the tendency in the mind that, but a strict follower, Prabhupada wanted that we study the books carefully. And Prabhupada, for this age of Kali, the Acharya, he represents all of the body of spiritual knowledge for the current time period. So sometimes we think, well, that was 50 years ago. That was so long ago. That was like decades and decades ago. Now times have changed again. We got to reevaluate. But no, for the whole time period, this Kali Yuga, Prabhupada has given, and Prabhupada said these books will remain for 10,000 years. So this is our material tendency to try to avoid authority because we want to be independent. That's why we're here. We don't want to follow. But for the devotees and for Brahmins, then the Shastras, their guiding light, their activities, unless it's guided by that, then we can't expect very much progress in spiritual life. So we don't want to partake of this notion that don't be fanatic, you don't have to follow so strictly. If you want to get the goal, then you have to follow strictly, just like a good student. You know, this verse is saying that the students, they're no longer studying, so the books become old and corrupted. Sometimes you see that, or sometimes we feel like that. We go into our room, we have so many books, but there's like this dust. So to get the fruit of the activities that we're doing, we have to be deeply rooted in that sambandhigyana, that foundational spiritual knowledge of Krishna's position, and then the abhideya, and how to engage in that will lead to the goal. We can't expect to get the goal unless we have that foundational knowledge and we're carefully following the process. So we want to take advantage of Prabhupada's mercy. You know, Prabhupada sacrificed his life and his sleep for sharing this, representing this. That's the representative. He represents. So we all are called, and we have the requirement. It's a duty, actually. It's a duty. We're Brahmins, or we're aspiring Brahmins, so we have a natural duty to study scripture and teach scripture. Actually, that will uplift us. That will make us very strong in spiritual life. As I was saying, that we have to have that foundational sambandha. Otherwise, our chanting, we know chanting is the only way, the only way, the only way. There's no other way, there's no other way. But chanting without a right conception, it won't give us the result very soon. Right? We say that you can chant for millions of lifetimes and not get the result if we're performing offenses. And there's many offenses that we chant, but to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter, why are we still materially attached? We've heard it, but we're not really imbibing it. So then our chanting won't get that fruit. And the different activities like deity worship, cooking, seva, sankirtan, all these have such potency
I always reflect on, I always mention this, that any one of these activities can awaken bhava or pure devotional love in the heart. And we're doing them all day long for days and weeks and years and months on end. But still we're not getting that fruit. So something that we all have. And Prabhupada wanted that all of my students, I was wondering that there's no purport in this verse. I was a little disappointed because it's a nice verse. For me, it's a little more attractive than speaking on the next verse, but we'll do what we can. But I thought if there was a purport by the servants of Prabhupada, I thought it would go something like this. Purport. Srila Prabhupada has written this connection that unless the devotees in this movement read all the books that have been translated, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. End of purport. Because that's what Prabhupada said. Unless devotees read, or maybe he says study, all the books that have been translated, we will simply eat, sleep, and fall down. Because we don't know what the goal is. We don't know what is the standard. And in Kali Yuga, as we mentioned, that material energy is going to try to introduce a different standard. How we can take it easy. Our whole mind is just thinking, how can I just relax? Just calm down. Just be cool, be chill. You don't have to do so much. That's the enemy that we have always going on. And so then we have to, you know, smash that illusion and mind by powerful association, the devotees who have gone beyond that point. And I like to reflect how in material life, if you ask someone, hey, do you like to work really hard? Oh, they'll say yes. He'll say, no, no way, man. But in spiritual life, we want to get to the point where we want to say, yes, I like to work really hard for Krishna. Unless we want to work really hard for Krishna, then we're not going to be able to go past these anarta or these tendencies. We should be confident, yeah, I want to work really hard for Krishna. And that I just want to somehow get by, somehow make it. No, working for Krishna is glorious. That's the proper utilization of our energy. Unless you use your energy, it just dissipates. Everyone has energy. So if you use it in the mode of goodness, you'll propel forward. But if you don't use it and it transforms into the mode of passion and then ignorance, then you'll be doing activities, but they'll be like, you know, sleeping or not really working to our capacity. So I really liked this verse that I think Subal mentioned a few days ago. All creatures took advantage of the rain, water, and their forms became attractive and pleasing, just as a devotee becomes beautiful by engaging in the service of the Supreme. So when we, the service of the Supreme Lord. So when we really engage, when we really use our energy, our God-given energy, right? Energy is a type of, it's Krishna's energy that he's endowed upon us. Because this is the entity's living force, energy. When we really engage that energy, then things become beautiful in devotional life, in devotional service. But as long as we try to squeeze out some of, and not give our full, we try to restrict some of that energy for our own purposes, not give it to Krishna, then we don't really mature. We don't really come to the stage of our full potential. You know, we're all like seeds. And we have to come to a big plant, flowers and fruits. So we have to engage all of our energy. We don't want to restrict it. And then we're just cheating ourselves. And we see in the early days how hard the devotees worked. They worked like anything. And when that full surrender is there, then the taste will come in the chanting, in the activities. Otherwise, we can chant for so long, but if our heart is not in a surrendered position, then we're still maintaining material attachments. So that holy name can't really blossom. So, the next text is interesting also that they're kind of next to each other, because on the one hand, this is what you have when you study the Shastra. You get a higher taste for hearing about Krishna in the spiritual world. And we get, that's what the Shastra ultimately is teaching. That's the highest conclusion of the Shastra. Like, we have the whole Bhagavatam. But the essence, I've heard that there's about 180 chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam. And 90 are Krishna's pastimes. So half of it is, that is the ultimate subject matter of the Shastra, of the scripture. The Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. And amongst that, the Krishna Leela is the most sublime subject matter. So it's interesting that these verses are paired together, because on the one hand, if we don't study the scripture, then what happens? We have this other scenario that that just as the clouds produce lightning, and lightning goes shoo, 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 shoo. This is like a lusty person. It says here, like a lusty woman, unfaithful, even to virtuous men. So unless we get that taste for this Shastra, hearing about Krishna, then we're looking for it materially. We're looking to get some gratification. If we don't get it through service, then we get it through ego. So the phenomenon of looking out there, if we're not able to be antar mukh, inward looking, then we become bahir mukh, outwardly facing. We don't know Krishna's in our heart. Sarvasya chaham hridishani vishto. Krishna's in our heart. We have to learn how to look within. Otherwise, we want to look out. We want to see a beautiful form out there. And then this phenomenon of here, there, here. Maybe I'll get in this relationship. And so that is also the material energies. Mastermind. Krishna is so expert. Daksha, and also his servants are very expert. So Mahamaya is so expert. The way that she did, the man's psychology is, he's just looking for something. And the woman's psychology, she's also just looking for something. And they happen to both complement perfectly what each other were looking for, generally speaking. So Maya knows exactly how to present something. It's like there's a puzzle piece for Krishna. And if we don't put Krishna there, then there's a same exact shape, but it's the opposite sex, or it's the object of sex attraction. It completely, at least theoretically, that's what we think it will do. Of course, nothing can actually fulfill that need, but it takes that shape. And so that's the psychology of this material world, that we think, I'll get it here, in a certain way. So, and then in one relationship, Prabhupada is emphasizing the purport that actually they shouldn't separate under any circumstance. It is therefore recommended that a woman desiring to advance in Krishna consciousness peacefully live with the husband, and that the couple should not separate under any condition. That's what Prabhupada's instructions. His instructions are in his books. We shouldn't, this divorce culture, it shouldn't be there. You know, this is a gap for us. Second wife, third wife, second husband, third husband. It's not authorized, it's not Vedic, it's not Brahminical culture. And obviously that's difficult, because in the beginning, again, there's this very mystical attraction. It makes it out like, wow, this is going to be so exciting, and this is going to just stay forever. It's going to just continue to grow. But after a few years, you know, studies show that same attraction, it just dissipates. And then you have a lifetime of, okay, now we have to work with each other. We have to deal with each other. We have to, you know, we more or less have to come back to reality, because that period is, and now we have to live with this person for the rest of our life. And let's try to make it work. So the point is that if we can cultivate these qualities, Trinada Pisunichena, Tadori Vasishana, Amani Namanadina Kirtaniya Sadhari, then even if there's difficulties, even if there's all these challenges, we can take it as a purification experience. We don't want anyone nagging us, we don't want anyone getting in our face, we don't want to be criticized by anyone. So I have to live with someone where this is going on. Ooh, it's too difficult. Better we just forget it, go our own ways. But no, to stay there in that relationship, and that's the injunction of the Shastra, because then you're going to have to take all of that garbage, all of the difficulty, the unpleasant stuff, and you're going to have to tolerate it. And you're going to have to tolerate it. And then you're going to grow from that to take the humble position. So that's sometimes where the most growth I find is being in a situation where we're getting a lot of difficulty or, you know, unpleasant things, just to accept it and embrace it, that, this is for my purification. Otherwise, everyone will just say, oh, you're so great, you're such a wonderful devotee, so they'll start glorifying. But rarely will someone just come and criticize or chip away at us, tell us our faults. But that's the time when that's the most liberating thing for the soul. Oh yeah, I'm not just so exalted. Someone just point out our flaws. It's the most helpful thing. A Brahmin should consider criticism like nectar and praise like poison. So we want to be in a situation where I'm always just getting the praise, great, but actually we're drinking the poison. We get addicted to poison. And we don't like the situations where I'm getting the criticism. That's actually the nectar. And the advanced devotees, they're like drinking it up. They're like, yeah, just laying on. What else did I do wrong? Come on. That's all you got? Like, I know I'm worse than that. That's the advanced devotees. And then, Kirtani Sahari, then they can chant. So, we have this point in our society to try to imbibe somehow that the marriage should be a commitment. We shouldn't do so many divorces. We shouldn't divorce us like a Western, this is Kali, the speculative thing. Okay, yeah, you made the promise, but now you don't have to follow that. No, it's a commitment, so it should be stuck to. And Prabhupada says, then the life can become successful. And it also allows, I have a conception of how things should be, but someone else is bringing a different conception, a higher conception perhaps, that I have to follow. It allows us to come out of our own little self-conception bubble. So there's a few nice passages I thought I might share in this regard. Then maybe we'll see if there's some question or comments, because it's Kartik and the idea is to hear and chant about Krishna as much as possible. So because this is Shukadeva Goswami, it's very poetically, very beautifully, in his deep realization, he's sharing the beautiful description of Vrindavan. And there's a nice also rendering by Srila Prabhupada in his Krishna book that I thought I would just share as a kartik, you know, nice little meditation. Accompanied by the coward boys and Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, which was full of flowers, vegetables, and pasturing grass. The Vrindavan forest was as sanctified as the clear mind of a devotee and was full of bees, flowers, and fruits. There were chirping birds and clear water lakes with waters that could relieve one of all fatigue. Sweet-smelling breezes blew always, refreshing the mind and body. Krishna, with his friends and Balaram, entered the forest and, seeing the favorable situation, desired to enjoy the atmosphere to the fullest extent. Krishna saw that all the trees, overloaded with fruits and fresh twigs, bending down to touch the ground as if welcoming him by touching his lotus feet. He was very much pleased by the behavior of the trees, fruits, and flowers, and he began to smile, realizing their desires. So this is a nice description. It says here, accompanied by the coward boys and Balaram, Krishna brought forward the cows and played on his flute as he entered the forest of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the land of the highest love. The material love, the shadows of love, as we described here, the difficulties in relationships, it is shamed by this real land of love, the real love that the soul is looking for here in Vrindavan, highest pinnacle of love of the soul, uninhibited by even awe and reverence for God, God's supermost personal feature. Loving exchanges, cowherd boys, parental, the animals, the gopis. This is the real level of love. People want love, peace and love. The hippies are looking for, they were looking for peace and love. So Prabhupada said, here, this is the real, if you want the real thing, not the artificial thing. Take LSD, you know. And no, this is the real land of love. And that's calling us, Krishna's right here, calling us, beckoning us forward to enter into that realm. But we have to give up these material attachments, desire to take it easy, or to be lazy in our study, our service, and dedicate our mind, our heart, our soul on Krishna. I'll see if there's any comments or question now. Yes.
Thank you, Acharya Nishtha Prabhu. One thing that you mentioned is in the purport too, in terms of the importance of the commitment of marriage vows, and also the arrangement that is there in the Grihastha ashram for the ultimate purification of lusty desires, attachments, all that stuff. Krishna designed it very, very cleverly, and it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it really helps the individuals, both individuals, you know, to actually elevate themselves mm-hmm. out of that. And if you follow properly at one, you know, at the right time, you start to look towards renunciation mm-hmm. naturally. Mm-hmm. However, one thing that I, you know, we face, you mentioned it, you know, that the rate of divorce in our institution is similar to the rate of divorce, you know, in the regular world.
I heard it's higher.
People say that it's even worse.
Yeah.
And it's a reality that we have to acknowledge, and in one sense also be sensitive about and careful, because it's not as simple as, you know, well, just follow. But it's a much more complex, you know, matter in terms of we're in times, it's Kali Yuga. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the narration here, for example, is you have a qualified, extremely qualified man. Mm-hmm. And the comparison of the lighting is the lusty woman. You know, so that scenario in you know, Vedic times, you have qualified people.
Mm-hmm.
But in Kali Yuga, right here, you know, we have it, everybody comes with a lot of baggage. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And there could be situations in which the combination sometimes becomes very detrimental for the peace, for the, you know, performance of Krishna consciousness like that of individuals. So in one sense, you know, we have to be sensitive in one sense, you mm-hmm. know, to these things. So what, you know, in your experience with devotees that you meet like that, and you see sometimes senior devotees dealing with this type of thing, your spiritual master and other senior devotees, you know, and even during Prabhupada's times, he didn't want devotees to divorce, but then sometimes, you know, he will say, you know, if It takes two actually to be able to have a grihastha ashram. So if one is not committed, if one is, it's too much, and I need my sense gratification, and the other one, so if things is like that, then, you have to give up.
Yeah. So it is mentioned also in the Shastra that if the spouse, in other words, if one is fallen, then one can give them up. If the husband falls away from devotional life, then the wife can leave him. So Prabhupada speaking about, Krishna conscious couples, they shouldn't divorce. But at the same time, there is, if one stops practicing Krishna conscious spiritual life, then that's a different situation. And I would say that that's an exception that also the Shastra gives credit for. And that's not, there's evidence also, in some places of devotees or, having to do that. So that's a good point you bring up, that is, as far as I understand, the one case wherein it's allowed. But, yeah, otherwise, if we say it's not favorable for my Krishna consciousness, it really takes a lot of maturity to understand what's favorable for my Krishna consciousness. In the cases that I've seen, it wasn't comfortable, so it didn't work out. And what happened later? I've seen that there was a worse result than perhaps maybe just sticking it out and taking the being under that shelter of that arrangement that the guru made. It seemed like it was going to be better, but later on, time will tell. And therefore, Prabhupada's saying that, this is his desire, that under good time, bad time, Chanaka Pandit says, the arguments between a man and wife should be considered like that of, I think, goats, right? Or it may make a lot of noise, seen these big goats, the rams, boom! But it's not so serious. Afterwards, they just walk away. So there's going to be a lot of friction, but it's not taken seriously because, hey, we're just dealing with each other. And divorce is not really an option. So if one is not, they've fallen away from their devotional practice, yeah, that'll jeopardize your spiritual life for sure. But otherwise, I think we want to move towards, this direction. That's my...
One short thing.
I'm a little young. These are my thoughts.
What you say was quite right.
Okay.
And I just add into it in one sense. I'm not necessarily saying, everything you say was sound, but also adding because, I in my own life, we have to deal for us, divorce is not an option, however. I have so many friends, that I've been for many years, and I see that, and then you see, sometimes, as you say, this example that you say, that works, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes, you have devotees that end up being very, very nicely situated after divorce, and then you have some, like as you say, it's like a mess, you just keep jumping from one to another. And in the scriptures even, there are situations in which the husband is fallen and the wife remains, steady through the fallen husband and then save the husband. And sometimes you see in modern times, devotees who stick to it, even if the husband, or the wife is not following, eating meat or whatever like that, and being attached to sex or something. And by that principle, things get transformed and better. So, it's so complex. So the way there is people in our society that are very expert, example, to guide, because it's very individualized. That's one thing that we discover in Krishna consciousness, that there is not a cookie a frame for everything, that it works for everybody. We are very individualized and our situations are very unique in one sense. So you need someone who is expert or a series of a group of devotees that are expert in guiding this situation. Mm-hmm. And we do have in our society, we have the blessings in our space here to have Krishna Nandini and Tariq Prabhu. And then there is a whole team of people that are part of the Grihastha, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. And they guide people like that, you know, so so it's just sharing some.
Yeah, thank you. I had another thought also that a lot of times what we also don't sometimes consider is how we are a part of a larger organism, you know, how we're part of a real family and unit and culture. And so sometimes like the Vedic injunctions may seem very, very stern, like previously, if a woman would be touched by another man, then she wouldn't be married. We might think that is just not practical. That's like not a good idea because it's not fair. But what happens is when there's a culture, the idea is that then chastity becomes something very, very important, and then good families and good children. So we might think, yeah, I need to do the divorce, but then that can influence it culturally. Hey, they got a divorce. So then it can become more like, you know, it's a cultural thing. Whereas understanding that there is a deep, deep intelligence behind Varnashram, and that what does it do to the kids? You know, Prabhupada says here, the family, the work, everything becomes devastated. So if it does become a culture, then this family unit breaks down. And then from there, there's unwanted children. And so there's all of these complications from that also, just another angle, but I've stressed that point enough. I appreciate your point on also careful guidance is needed. Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu. I think Keshav Kishore Prabhu had a question.
Thank you, Acharya Nishtha. We're talking permanently about our collective, but when we go preaching, the culture we live in, there's a reluctance to accept this because the vision is, this is completely the antagonist of relief. This is a contradiction to the nowadays, as you mentioned at the beginning of your, how can we approach people?
You mean about divorce? This is against, to maintain married is against their...
Yeah. The Western society goes in the contrary direction to what the Vedic scriptures...
The Western society is just people devoid of Vedic culture, we could say it that way.
Absolutely.
They're outside of God's system.
They're eager to learn new things, and that is why the New Age... tutti frutti of philosophies and things, no? And but still, there's a permissive behavior in our personal life. And when we approach people, not to preach, but to kind of inspire the people, there's a better system, a better way of life. People get reluctant. How can we break that?
Well, we have to live it. We have to show by example.
But when you get somebody in the spotlight, oh, this is what it is, what would you do? When we're preaching, when we're inspiring people, not just by the example, just right in the spot when we're doing book distribution or Sankirtan.
How do we convince them that this Vedic culture is more complete than the Western culture?
Yeah, more complete, more sound.
Well, Prabhupada often glorifies his guru as saying the chopping technique. Have you heard of the chopping technique? The idea is that sometimes more effective than presenting a good alternative is destroying the bad alternative. So Bhakti Siddhanta would chip away, and Prabhupada also, at the so many classes of Prabhupada. What was he saying? He's saying, these fools and rascals, this rascal civilization. He's just smashing. So that's also, we have to present Krishna also, but we also have to reveal the shortcomings of their approach, which is not very difficult. And sometimes that sinks in deeper. Most people don't even think about that. Like these kids are just going to school, paying thousands of dollars. You're saying, I just, you know, unless what you study brings happiness, what's the point? So we can expose what, okay, this is our culture. What is your culture about? Like, what is the philosophy of your culture? The body is temporary. Try to enjoy unlimitedly as intensely as you can before your body dies. Is that a good, does that sound like a good philosophy of life? So they don't have that higher thinking yet about what they're even doing in life. So we have to just point out, hey, did you ever see it this way? Have you really thought about what you're doing or what society is trying to do for you? Where, you know, consumerism and materialism becomes the goal of life. Do you think that's the highest calling for the human being? So there's two angles that we try to share.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thanks for class. It's kind of a comment and a question. It's kind of like a reality check. You were saying how association of advanced devotees can help us go beyond the material energy. I was liking that point. And my question is basically, what is Sambandha Gyan and how do you obtain it?
Mm-hmm. So you appreciate the point about seeking out senior association. And then related to that is Sambandha Gyan.
Yeah, that's my question. What is that exactly? Is it, you're saying it's Krishna's position? Or how do you obtain Sambandha Gyan?
Sambandha means relationship. So Prabhupada says it means three things. What is my identity? What is my constitutional position? What is my relationship with Krishna? And what is Krishna's relationship with this material world? If we know, first is to know who I am. There's no Sambandha Gyan without knowledge of the self, because we'll still be in the bodily consciousness, so we'll still have all of these misconceptions about life. It's very deep-rooted. What am I supposed to do in life? What is the soul? Then what is my relationship with my source? Aham adir hi devanam maharshanam jasarvasha. Then Krishna says, I am the source of everything. All the devas, all the rishis, the sages, everyone comes from me. Aham sarvasya pravavo. Mata sarvam pravartate. So Krishna is the fountainhead of everything. So then we understand my relationship, my most important relationship is my relationship with Krishna. I have other relationships. I have relationships with other objects and items. The most important and the source from which everything comes is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Sachidananda Vigra. Anadir Adir Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of everything. So whatever we conceive of, if we don't see it in relation with the source, then that's Maya. Tirtam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chapmani tadvidyam atmano maya yathateshu nateshaham. It's a shadow. It's like an illusion. But reality means seeing something also connected to its source. So in that way, one can see Krishna everywhere because everything is a result. And what's the source? So we understand Krishna is the cause of all causes, the source of everyone. The most important relationship in my life is my relationship with Krishna and Radharani. Our Ishtadev. And then what is Krishna's connection with this material world? So I can understand those things, but unless I know what is this place around me, what is the nature of this world, I can still be deep in illusion. So then sambandha is to know the material energy. It's one of my shaktis. Ahankara ityame bina prakajrashta. It's my separated material energy. So Prabhupada says that one who knows that there's nothing beyond Krishna, that's the platform of real fearlessness and happiness in life. There's nothing outside or beyond Krishna. There's nothing separate from Krishna. There's nothing separate from Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. He pervades all things. So then we can see this whole material world as also a product of, it's one of Krishna's energies. So then we can respect it and not try to exploit it. Because if we don't see its source, then what does it mean? It's for me. Because that's our ego's dictation. This is mine. I can enjoy this. But the sambandha means everything. There's nothing outside of Krishna's energy. So you can't be a thief if you know the owner. Or if the police are right there looking at you, then you don't steal. When you can see that everything belongs to Krishna. So therefore, you know, it's mentioned that you can't actually renounce something, because what can you renounce? You don't own anything. So when that, not just philosophically, but it becomes kind of ingrained in our consciousness through sadhana bhakti, then Krishna is more accessible to us, because that ignorance is more dissipated. Is that okay, everyone? Hare Krishna. Thank you all for your kind attention. Asking for your well wishes and blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to try to serve. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premai.